Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good
Hey, good evening.
Hello? Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
Good. I'm hanging in there. I can't complain.
Good, good. Been a while since we talked.
I know. I know, right?
Yes, sir. Well, I pray that you and your family are all doing well.
Thank you, sir. Praying that you and your crew is doing the same thing.
Thank you. Thank you. So do we have Raymond with us or no?
I don't hear him yet. I don't hear them. Yeah, but they haven't started yet. So you come on.
Yeah, well, looks like he wants us to go ahead and get started. So,
of course.
It's your show, so you lead.
Oh, I know. Okay, wait a minute. Wait 1 second. I'm outside. I'm gonna give me a second.
All right.
Because, yeah. Let's see. Oh, my goodness.
You must not have no cicadas where you are because I don't hear none.
You know? No, I don't. They pretty much gone out here. I'm over my parents' house. They pretty much gone.
Okay.
So, yeah. Hold on. Let me... My dad's blowing the ones that are dead off the patio.
Okay.
It's so nice out, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Take your time.
Give me a second. Oh, okay. My daughter just told me no step on the cicada. She's in love with them.
Okay.
All right. Hey, 1 second. All right, Dad. That's good. That's good. All right. All right. All right, so welcome to three with myself and Minister Cleophas. We're waiting on Reverend Ray, so we go ahead and get started. And as soon as we get started, we'll go ahead and pray us in, and then I'm guess it's on me. I'm hearing it's on me. So I do have a word, two or three. I think it's going to be controversial, so I can't wait to hear what people's inputs are when I bring this word forth, but it's something that just God just shared with me earlier today, and just hope that we could get something or share or be able to come to a positive ending with this topic. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you, God, for this opportunity, this platform that you have allowed us, God, to come together as men, as Christian men, as your sons, as we come together in unity. God, I just ask, as always, that you will bless this time. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this privilege and honor that you allow me, Father, to speak to your people, God, to your sons and daughters. Thank you so much. I just pray, God, that there's something that I say or do or mention that will just, you know, touch somebody's heart, Father, that will bring about a change. And this is my prayer, this is our prayer, God. And for those who are on, God, just ask that you will bless them, whatever their needs and desires that they have, Father. Just ask, Father, that it will come speedily, Father, as they've been waiting patiently for you. Thank you so much. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, welcome to When Christians Speak, R3. We got some brothers on here, some sold-out brothers, some sold-out men of God, some sons of God who are here, who come together once a month and just speak a word of encouragement, come together and declare the goodness of God and to speak about issues that take place in our lives. So welcome. Do I have Ray, Reverend Ray on the air, or Brother Ray?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. All right. And I got Mr. Cleophas on there. Cleo, got him on here too.
Right. Yeah, I'm here.
Right? Okay.
Yes,
right.
I am. Okay. I am. And high expectations okay. Of that word you're going to bring.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Here we go. All right. So, okay.
Hey,
so,
man, I know you got the good, so I know it's good.
Oh, my God. There you go. There you go. All right. So, if you can, we're going to go to James chapter, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but if you ever get a chance to read through the book of James, James is a book of instructions for believers. It's solely for believers. It's solely for believers, especially new believers. But I tell all believers, read the book of James because it gives you some instructions. In the beginning of it, it talks about discrimination, economical discrimination. It talks about seeking wisdom, how God gives wisdom freely. It talks about how we should operate faith for works. It talks about, it has a good illustration on how we are supposed to use the tongue as believers. And then in chapter 4, it gives us advice on how to resist the devil and how things come about in the church concerning how we deal with each other as believers, how we should conduct ourselves as believers, how we should not operate in greed or bitterness, okay, and how we should do all, how we should carry ourselves as believers. And then, of course, I think the last chapter, it gives us on prosperity, what we do with prosperity, as well as healing, and even some sin, even how do we get out of sin. So here we are in chapter 4. The reason I'm coming to chapter 4 is because it hit me when I was studying chapter 4, the first verse. If we go to James chapter 4, let me pull up on my phone. Excuse me for not having that ready. But James chapter 4, verse 1. Let's see. James. Okay, Hebrews. Okay, I'm on my my phone. So I'm trying to do this in my phone at the same time. Okay, this is done in alphabetical order. All right, excuse me, y'all. Excuse me. All right, and this is King James Version. It says, from whence come war? In other words, he's saying, where are these wars coming from? Why are we having these wars? He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? In other words, they say, where is this fighting stuff? Or why are we doing this fighting? And why are we having wars? And now as you study this, and I looked at a couple of theologians and a couple of books, and they had said that in one case that they were fighting among the brethren. They were fighting among each other. And then I looked further into, and another theologian said, well, the fighting wasn't among each other. It was the Jews at the time were warring against or fighting against the heathens, those who didn't believe in God, because they were trying to force Christianity on them. They're trying to force their religion, to force their belief on them to the point that they were, if they caught you worshiping false idols and things of that nature, you were either, I'm not going to say necessarily killed, but you were dealt with harshly. And so we have two cases here. One, it was talking about how they were fighting against each other, and then another, they were talking about how the Jews at the time and these Christians at this time, how they were dealing with the heathens harshly. And so with this first scripture here, it kind of messed with me a little bit, because as I did some more research, come to find out that this took place between AD 42 and 60. This is when this whole case took place, what was going on. And you have to ask yourself the question, why did James write this letter? Of course, we call it a book, but it's a letter. It's actually a letter to the believers. Why did James have to write this letter? He wrote this letter because of some stuff that was going on and stuff that those believers were doing that was not right. And even at this time, we've had the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have the stories. We have all the gossip that took place in the past previous to this time. And here he has to address these people on how they should conduct themselves amongst each other. And so when I looked at this some more, I was like, you know what, God? This discrimination, this religious fights that we see now, especially with the Muslims and the Christians, the racial discrimination, we know we've seen that's in the Bible too. All the racial discrimination, of course, you know, the Samaritans and Jews that had issues with each other, because we know that with Jesus, with the woman at the was it the woman at the well? Yeah, the woman at the well. Was it the woman at the well? Yeah, the woman at the well, because he actually gave me drink. She was like, "Oh, why are you asking me? I'm Samaritan," you know. So there was a problem with that. There was always segregation, and then the revelation I got, and I don't care what nobody say, but the revelation I got was that racism, discrimination, all this stuff becomes with the believers of God, with the believers of Jesus Christ. We are the worst when it comes to racism. One of my members asked me a few months ago, probably back in June after the George Floyd, he asked me, he said, how can we get rid of racism? And I said, I didn't know. I asked him, I said, I didn't know. I didn't know how we do it. And then after praying and asking God, how do we as a church get rid of racism? Is as a church, the church has to stop being racist. The church has to stop being racist.
Amen.
If you look through the history of all the things that took place when it comes with racism or whatever, and I know you said, well, that's the white people doing that. Yes, that's true. And when I'm talking about the church, even though they were racist and all the stuff they did, they were believers of Jesus Christ. KKKs are believers. They're believers. They're wrong, they're evil, but they're believers. When you look at the history books, look at and we can look at Alex Haley when he did the series on Roots, that book. If you look at Roots, those masters were Christians. They were Christians. And they used the Bible to control and manipulate what they wanted. And here James deals with that, and it's like, and if you read the Bible now, the people back there, their theology was so jacked up, they didn't study the Word of God like we're doing it now. Because they would understand that all this stuff that they were doing was sinful. It was sinful because they were yielding to their flesh. He says, why are you warring against each other? He said, why are you fighting against each other? You know, he says, even of your lust that war with your members. He says, your lust is causing you to war with your people, with your members, with people in your surroundings. It caused you to war against them because of lust of your flesh. The Amplified Bible says, for your sensual desires, the desires that you have, the lust that you have in your heart, and lust is forbidden pleasure of God. It's something God forbids you to do, and you have lust after it. And I don't care what it is. We always look at the opposite person, the opposite sex, as far as, you know, you're lusting after them. But it could be money. It could be power. It could be something that you desire for evil pleasures. And so we've had this, you know, we had discussions, and we look at what took place, you know, with the police brutality and all those things that occurred recently and then in the past. And when I go back and look, these people who are behind this stuff, I'm not saying all of them are, but most of them are somehow, somewhere, proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you study some more and you look at how the slaves were traded, that took place because of the Catholic Church in Africa. That's how that took place. So we have believers who are causing, who stir this stuff up. They curate this stuff, and it's the church. And the only way we can correct the problem in this world, the believers, by correcting it with the Christians. And I keep saying Christian. Christians is such a light word, but believers. Believers are the ones who take the Word of God and apply it to their lives. I'm gonna do this thing. At what any cost there is, I'm gonna do this. And so even as a black church, we gotta be the same way. We gotta come to the point where we are, as a black church, that we not have racism, we're not racist either, which is hard. We could say all the experience we dealt with, all the not getting promotions, all the not looking over, all the being pulled over for no reason, all the names that have been calling us. Even after all that, God said, no. I still need you to love your brother. I still need you to love your sister. And I still need you to forgive them as well. So the racism will start with even us as a body, as a church, even if it was done into us. Because it has to stop somewhere. And who is better equipped to get rid of something as evil as that but the body of Christ? Now, and that's with any race. That's with our Asian believers. That's with our Caucasian believers. That's with our African American believers, our Hispanic believers, those in Europe and things of that nature, European believers. It has the church. It can't be, well, that's just the way it is. Because it was really created within believers. It was created inside the church. It was used to create a segregation and to bring power to the church. That's why the Catholic ministry has so much money. Because all the stuff they've done in the past, the evil stuff they've done in the past when it comes to slavery and when it comes to fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And you look at our forefathers. You look at George Washington. He was supposed to be a believer. You know, they're all talking about forefathers. No, That's not my forefathers, your forefathers. But it talks about how they prayed and how they came together. Yeah, they did all that, but they were slave owners. And they were, and they did not treat the slaves as humanely as they should have been treated. And so here we are once again. Yeah, this country may have been founded on Christian principles, I strongly believe that. But some of the issues that we're dealing with now is because the people of the church, those who before us, who created this segregation, who created this racism, who created this economic distinction, this economic segregation, all that the Bible talks about, it was created by us. You notice that the Bible is not talking to the believers, to the non-believers. James didn't address to those who didn't believe in God. He addressed to the believers. So that goes to show you that believers in A.D. time, early A.D., they were the ones who were reaping havoc, who were causing some stuff. That's why it had to be addressed. Think about the Ten Commandments. Think about all the laws that were created while the children were in the wilderness, because they were doing some wicked and evil stuff, and it had to be addressed. It had to be dealt with. So if you want to get rid of racism, or you want to start, or you want to or begin or take a stance or something, it has to start within us as believers. It has to start with the body of Christ. It has to. It has to. It's not going to be dealt with. It's not going to be taken care of. We can't expect the world to do it. I pray, and it's funny because God gives us the power to do certain things. We had the Holy Spirit. But it's amazing how we look for the world to take care of stuff. We look for the government to do stuff. If the government is not going to do it, because they're trying to fight this thing with the flesh. It's a spiritual thing that we deal with. This is something that man can't even, they don't even know how to do it, because it's a generation and generation. This stuff is being passed on, to the point that somebody's got to say, okay, this has to stop. We got to stop this. Now, I know it's easier said than done. I know you say to yourself, "Oh, I'm not racist. I'm good. Whatever. Okay. So maybe preaching the choir." But when our job is to make sure that we walk in the ways of the Lord, which is the instruction that was given to us in the Bible, especially James, resist the devil and flee from it. I know it's going to be times. I know there's going to be times that you want to do things that are not pleasing to the sight of God. I understand that. But our responsibility is to make that correction and get back on the right path. As believers, we're going to make mistakes. But it starts with us. It starts with the church. And I told the congregation, I said, I wish I could get on a big platform somewhere and get on a church platform like, I don't know, Jakes or Joel Osteen, and just tell them, if y'all want this racism to stop, it got to start with you. It's you. It's the church. The church need to know we got to stop this nonsense. We got to stop this nonsense. And, I mean, I have experienced what everybody else is saying. I understand that. I get it. But it has to stop somewhere. Because if not, if we continue, even in our hearts, and I think we have every right to be, African Americans have every right to be the way they are. I understand it. But it has to start. Somebody's going to have to stand up and say, no, I'm going to love my brother. I'm going to love my sister. Whether he's white, whether he's Latino, whether he's European, I don't care if he has white skin, I'm going to have to love him and forgive him and keep it moving. Now, I don't say you have to go break bread together and hang out. I'm not saying that. But it's going to have to, it has to stop, and it's going to start with the church. Comments, please. question, please.
Amen. Amen. I'm listening to you, brother, and I'm going like, you know what? You're absolutely right. It's the church is going to have to change that teaching, that mindset. And even though we teach on the love of Christ and the love of God, and we should love our neighbors and our enemies and those things, do we really understand the full effect of what that means? Okay, because the love just means for those that's in the church, but it also those that may have a different color of skin than we have, you know. And with love, what I believe the church plays out there, it looks, when we begin to truly love each other like that, the body of Christ, and love men and women like that, I believe again at that time we begin to look past, again, the color of their skin. We begin to look past obstacles and whether they're rich or they're poor and everything. And then we develop a need or a desire because of Christ is in us to help us. But it has to stop the church. I never looked at it like that. I always thought it was something that had to be taught in the houses and in schools and with the family or sitting down and talking. But it's we are the first people to break bread with us, the first partakers of this thing called love. Okay. And we have to be able to express that. Now, there was going to always be a basic hate because we live in the last days and racism and all that kind of stuff. But how many people can we show them Jesus Christ and show them the love of Christ and what Christ is truly about and everything like that? But it's not about the color of your skin. It's not about the finances you got, the money you got, you know, that I should be able to break bread with you and not feel threatened with you, or you not feel threatened by me because I don't talk the same way you do, or I don't look the same way you do, or something like that of that nature. But yeah, I like the way that you explain that, also, man. Like I said, I never really thought about it like that, but it makes sense, you know. So we want the world to change. We're the catalyst, man. We're the catalyst.
Right.
It has to take place in us. The world can't do it within themselves because they don't have the power or the authority. But we do.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Amen. 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 Amen.
We
look for the world.
I'm reminded of something the late Bishop Steve Patterson said. In the Christian community and the believer community and the body of Christ, that the most segregated hour is on Sunday morning, where blacks can only worship with blacks, whites can only worship with whites, Latinos can only worship. That is not when it comes to the body of Christ. It comes to the body of Christ. It's all of us. We are all members in one body. And
right.
Racism is division, divisive. It turns us against our own body. We got to fix it.
Mm.
You're spot on. You're spot on with what you said. If we want this thing to come to a head and come to an end, that we as believers, as blood-washed, born-again believers, we got to come together. I'm reminded of what Jesus says when they came to your mother's looking. He said, who's my mother? Then he went on and said, well, who's my brother? And who's my sister? And we determine our brothers and our sisters based on race. Yeah, what's up, bro? You know, and
right.
The reality of it is, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. If we're a part of the body of Christ, we're all brothers.
Right.
So what Jesus was saying was, I'm going with those that are going in the same direction I'm going with, are going after the things of God, and that are trusting in the things of God. If you're that person, then yes, you're my brother, you're my sister. If you're doing something opposed to that,
And right now, we're not brothers and sisters.
Right.
Mm.
Right. Right.
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
Right. And things that as I looked into it, and I said this before, the things that they did to each other, they warred against each other because it was all for finance. It was all for money. It was all for power. And they were willing to hurt and kill for money. They were willing to destroy lives for money. And I'm over for power. And I mean, think about why their reasoning for killing Jesus or sentence him to death. It was all for power. He could hear Jesus, and he's talking about, look, all y'all stuff y'all doing, y'all need to do that no more. Priests, all this sacrifice stuff, y'all need to do that no more. It's done. Matter of fact, he came in, and he was serving pink slips to these people because they say, we don't need y'all anymore. We don't need priests like this anymore. And so they had an issue with that because they were taking his position. They were taking the power. You know, back then, the priests, they were powerful people. They had a lot of clout. And here you got this man coming, and he's doing miracles that they're not even doing. All he's doing is wearing the fancy clothes and have the title, but that's it. And so all this stuff that we're dealing with, this is not from 400 years ago. Yeah. This is centuries. It's thousands of years ago that we're dealing with that hasn't not been dealt with, that has not been dealt with. As the body, the world's trying to do it. We had a civil rights movement. And, you know, yeah, that helped, you know, and Martin Luther King, you know, God bless him. I mean, he did what he was called to do. He did. But it's, we're still dealing with it. We're still dealing with it. Why? Because the churches is not dealing with it. The churches are not dealing with it. They're not dealing it with the heart of man. When I say the church is not dealing with it, I'm not talking about just the black church. I'm talking about white churches too. They're not, because they don't see it as an issue. They don't understand. They can't comprehend. I get it. I'm not mad at them. I get it. If you're not aware of that, then you're going to carry on what you see your parents do. I get it. But it hasn't been dealt with in the church. I'm talking about these prominent pastors and stuff, they're not going to, because they don't understand. They don't understand. I get it. They can say what they want to say. I listen to there's a couple of white TV evangelists that I love their teaching. When it gets down to the racism or police brutality and stuff like that, when they start talking, I got to turn them off. I said, you don't understand. You talking from your experience. You can't talk from our experience. You know, it's easier said than done. You know, don't come to me. Don't send me literature on, you know, what our forefathers did. I said, because all you doing is opening up wounds that you did to my ancestors. So they're not sensitive to that. And I get they don't understand. They don't understand. But if they did understand, they could be more sympathetic and start dealing with their people in the congregation about racism. Like, 'cause it has to start with the church. It has to. Because if they don't deal with it as a church, all they're going to do is put people in power who are racist. That's what they do. man, that's profound. That's what they do. If they don't deal with the racism, then the people at the church will put people in office who are racist because they don't recognize it.
Amen.
Don't recognize it because they haven't been taught. They're not aware of it. Or maybe they are racist and they don't care. They think that's how it is.
Or using scriptures to support the idea of racism, which is what they did back in the day. You know, they used scriptures to support what they were doing. You know,
right?
Out of the country,
that's what they
you know.
Did. I was watching. I forgot what film it was, documentary, but they used. They had the one of the slaves. His job was to go around to the different plantations and encourage or influence or motivate the slaves to work hard.
Mm.
That was his job. And he was preaching. He would use a word to do so. And I was like, wow, because, I mean, the gospel has been manipulated. But no. I'm sorry. Not that the gospel has been used to manipulate people to do things. And it's I mean, even now, people
even
use
now.
Scriptures
yeah.
to do certain things for stuff mm-hmm. to be done, you know. So it's been done in the past. I'm talking about 100 years ago. And here we are, we still dealing with it because church are not abiding by the principles that were set up. Yeah, we could say, well, there's some missing Bibles, and they didn't man to put everything in the Bible, and that could be true, but we ain't obeying what's in there now. ain't obeying what's in there now. They talk about, boy, everything's not, I don't believe the Bible because everything's not in there. I said, okay, but are you banning everything that's in it now? What about the 666 that's in there now?
Yeah.
the only question I would go ahead.
Go ahead. You got it. I'm done. Go ahead.
Yeah. The only question I would have to that is, you know, it's in the 66 book, and some would say that there's things that are not in there. How they know?
Ooh, that's
you
good.
Know, the Bible clearly
how
says that all scripture. Is inspired or breathed of God into man, all scripture. So if
right.
that's what the Bible says, then how are you going to come to say that there's stuff left out?
Right.
You know, go ahead, I apologize.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just want to jump in that point,
no.
Go ahead. Okay.
No, go right ahead. I was done.
Okay, so what I was going to say is that I have a good friend, a real good friend of mine, who he was a pastor. He left the faith. He left the faith, and it's his fault because he should know better. But I blame what took place in the past with the gospel and how the church had used it to manipulate so many things. To put Africans or African Americans under oppression. And because of that, I'm finding out a lot of men are leaving the faith because they're reading too much.
Yeah.
They're reading too much. Because you come to me, you need to read this, you need to read that. I'm like, nah, I'm not reading it because I don't want to put that in my spirit. And I've been praying. I even told him, I said, look, man, I said, I think you're more intellect. I said, but I love you, whatever. I said, I get it. I understand it. I understand where you're coming from. I understand why you're doing this. I said, but I just want the record to show that you're wrong. I just want for you to say that somebody told me I was wrong and that it came to me out of love. I didn't judge him. I didn't say, you know, you're stupid, whatever, calling no names. We are still cool. We still talk. You know, I still carry on. I don't change up my conversation, and he's staying with me. He still carries on telling me about all this stuff that's going on. When I told him he was getting ready to eat, and I said, "You ain't say your grace." He said, "Say my grace for what? For what?" And I was like, "Wow!" I said, "He's really gone. He is gone." And it's because because of what took place hundreds of years ago, how they use that gospel. There's people still hurting to this day.
Yeah.
There are people still hurting about what took place with slavery. They're still hurting. They may not say it, but their mentality, the way they act, you know, there is a thing in them, and it's hard for and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you look at those looking to faith, look at those your African American brothers, and if you know any white brothers, you know, look at them too, and think about this. Between those two races, who was easier, who had the easiest time trusting in God and believing in God for the possible? In my circle, it was the whites. They had the easiest time. It was easy for them to trust in God. It was easy for them. It was easy for them to believe in God. Blacks, they had to work at it. Why? Because the gospel been manipulated to their people and to that's been carried on down to the generations that they're really, I got to trust in this person I don't see. I got to trust in this person. I got to have faith enough. I'm not worthy enough because they've been talking. They talk so badly to my ancestors. They talk so badly to them. They said we were dogs, we're nothing. The trees like animals. And now you telling me that I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a child of Most High God. You know, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Now I gotta retrain my way of thinking on how I see myself. I'm not ugly because I have big lips or a big nose. Think about it. Think about what at least I tried to do when I was younger. You know, straighten my hair out because I thought it was cool or whatever. You know, because you think about it now, we're starting to want to, the people now are starting to want to look like they want to be Afrocentric. But in the past, you know, the women straighten their hair and the brothers put perm in their hair and the women wanted contacts in their eyes and, you know, the light-skinned guy was in. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to just add I just want to add, because this is a great conversation, and one of the things I was thinking about while you were talking is that they try to use the gospel to manipulate us, but in the end, or in the process of doing it, the real true gospel came to us, and that's why I believe that. I believe that with us as a race that we are so gifted, and once we saw the true gospel, that the God that they said that they were talking about was not like that, but was even deeper than that, we began to receive him even more so. You know, we began to get to know him for ourselves. It's basically what I'm saying.
Right.
We began to know God for ourselves. So no
Amen.
Matter what they do, or no matter what they may continue to do, and I'm critiquing all of us. No matter what they continue to do, we know who Jesus Christ is now. You know, the damage, like you were talking before, has in many cases has already been done. Okay, and some people won't be able to see past that because of the history of the last 400 years, just with us as a race. Okay, this is absolutely right. They won't be able to see past it because every time they come in contact, it's like they're not all, but it seems like there's a pushing down on the neck. And that's a spiritual thing for us and everything. That's a spiritual thing. This is the demonic in nature and stuff. Because I would always believe, I always say this, and I'm going to let somebody else talk, but I always believe that if we as a race of people all ever come together as one, man, I believe that, you know, we could do some amazing things. We were doing it as in the continent of Africa, but I'm just talking about here in America. But we would all just come together and agree and believe and everything. I just see so many things that we can do. And there may be a fear of that, you know. That may
Amen.
Be a fear of that, you know. So go ahead.
Amen.
Just two quick points, if I may. I do believe one of the solution to racism, any kind of suppression, we truly understand what love in the form of agape truly means. You know, agape. To have agape and then to have honor to go along with it. And I think that's you know, big part of what we see from a racism standpoint, what we see in the world today, is that we truly don't honor authority.
Mm-hmm.
When we get back to a place, and it has to start in the body of Christ, it has to start in belief, where when we say we love you from the position of agape, we mean what we say. Then we turn around and we honor those that to whom honor is due. You know, why can't I say, sir, yes, man, thank you, you know, to the elderly, those that have paved the way for me to be where I am today. And my second point in that solution is in Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15, and it says, and I'm reading from the King James, it says that, we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. And that's where a huge problem is. We don't mind telling people the truth, but we're speaking to them from a position of either anger or judgmental speaking. And the scripture says, you speak the truth in love, you know, that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we got to get back to a place of agape, true agape, true agape, what the essence of that word means. And then to honor, giving honor to people to whom everybody is deserving of honor. Everybody is. Doesn't matter whether you're president of the United States, governor. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor in a church. Doesn't matter the musicians, the people in the pews. Everybody deserves honor, and we've gotten away from where we have this respect of a person based on who they are and what they've achieved in life. And God has no respect of any man, especially if they're not doing His. So I think we, you know, as a solution, we have to get back. Through agape, through honor. When the body of Christ gets back to a place through agape and through honor, I think that's when we can move forward and we can start to break this racist spirit that's in the land. And quite frankly, on the day of Pentecost, you know, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have failed if they all went in that same room and they all went on one accord. And it didn't matter what background you came from.
Right.
You were in one place on one accord. Everybody was thinking the same thing. Everybody was singing the same song, off of the same hymn sheet, in the same beat, and the Holy Spirit fell on that place.
Amen. Segregation was never, ever meant. And I think I read that somewhere that the most segregated day of the Holy Week is on Sundays because everybody's going to whether white church or black church or whatever. And on the day of Pentecost, like you were saying, Okay, there was no segregation. There were people from all across the world there, and everything like that. You know, but man did that. Go ahead.
You know, I heard Bishop Dixon and Nelson, and I so appreciate you. So appreciate this topic that you brought up. It needs to be heard. But I heard Bishop Dixon say this. He says you don't need vision where you have traditions, and that's a big part of what's wrong with the body of Christ is that we all have these different traditions that we have to go by. You know, I'm the Church of God in Christ. We do it this way. I'm the Baptist Church, and we do it this way. But what does the Scripture do?
Right.
That's what Paul said. Paul said, "Have I become your enemy?" In Galatians 4:16, he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" See, the problem, we don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear our truth, but we don't want to hear the truth of the Word.
Yeah. Wow.
Nelson, I turn it back over to you. This is so good. I just, I couldn't sit here and not engage.
Right.
Because you're spot on with this lesson. You are spot on.
Because it definitely makes you think, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I was I'm upset, man. I know that the word is definitely going forth, man. And for those that are listening, quite a few people on the phone line. Thank you for listening. And this is what we need to talk about. This is about real men, real life, real talk. Real talk, you know. Everybody wants to talk about what the problem, but what are some of the solutions? What can we do? A brother here today just offered you that. Say, hey, it has to start with the church. Who is the church? You and I. The body of Christ. You know, that division, that segregation, separate attitude and stuff like that. It should just need to be destroyed, you know. You know, how can you be an evangelical, and I'm not speaking out against them and perceptive, but how can you be evangelical and at the same time hate me because of the color of my skin? You know, how can be African Methodist Episcopalian except at the same time hate the white man because what he's done in the past? No, but somewhere in there's a rift, and that rift needs to come together. It has to come together. It's not Christ. There's no Christ in there in hate of anybody, whether you're black or white. There's no Christ in there. You know, where you're a foreigner, there's no Christ in there. You know, there's no Christ in there. Okay. And I think what I've said, and we're almost done, and I'm going to let you close out in prayer and everything too. But I think what has taken place in everything, that we have just completely just begin to mix so much other doctrines and stuff together and readings and history and all the other kind of stuff. But you just get into the mix of so much of stuff. But let's get back to the real deal, the real scriptures, the real of what the scriptures say. Let's get into that. Let's get into the allegories and the mysteries of the gospel and everything like that. You know? But this is a good word, man. This is a word that needs to be preached across those podiums of and different podiums. This is that type of word. And it's simple. Get back to your first love. Go back to your first love. It's simple, man. Awesome, dude. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm done. I have nothing else. I can just close this out, but I'm done.
Yes,
I want to say he got it, but I'm done.
You got it. Okay.
Amen. Yeah, I'll just say this, and my pastor has been teaching for a year on God. One of the things he always says is, what was the original intent of God when he made man?
Yeah.
Put that man in. What was the original intent of God when he created a family?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we got to get back to. We got to get back to the original intent of God. And you're right. There's so many opinions and so many people with their theories.
But what does the word say? We've gotten so far away from what the word says. People are offering up their opinions, write books about their opinions. This third probably also talked about a personal friend of his that was a pastor that strayed away from the word. How do we get that brother back? And what, you know, scripture's clear. John 10 and 10, the scripture's clear. Satan comes not but for one thing, steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is he after? Yeah. He's after your identity in Christ. He wants to confuse you about your identity in Christ, to keep you bound, to keep you in oppression and depression. He wants to keep you. That's the whole purpose. He wants to attack your identity, and we're so far away from, oh, Lord, from our identity in Christ.
Mm.
If we just get back to knowing who we are in Christ, we quote these scriptures, but it's scripture in our heart. It's in our soul. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that's what we say. That's words that are coming out of our mouths. But when the pressure hits on us, we're turning away from the word to the world.
Mm-hmm.
God's not a friend of the world. God's a friend of this world.
Hate kills, but love heals.
Amen.
Hate kills, but love heals.
Amen.
No,
that's right. That's right.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, brother. Awesome topic, man. I mean,
Lord,
that was powerful.
Listen, y'all. We are basically almost out of time. We got like about 2 minutes, but before we close, I just want to remind everybody, real quick. You've been listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Today's segment has been Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. It was Ray, Elson, Creole Freak, and I think Brother Tyrell may have joined us. I'm not sure I see his number. But and Brother Tony will probably be with us this time around. Anything, listen, please share this gospel. Share this gospel. Amen. Share this gospel with everyone. And don't forget, real quick, hit the bell to grace. If Minister Williams is there, Tuesday at 7 p.m. The Plan to Finish Work with Rabbi Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy is at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life, amen, is the first and the third Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. Talent for Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcast are follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Lillian Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin Minister, Jenna Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover with the Body of One with Reverend Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And of course, today's broadcast is Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Antonio, Tyrone, Kiesis, and Brother Elston at second Sundays at 7 p.m. Don't forget about Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. This is also Prayer Warriors. She prays every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call. The number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. We do have a new broadcast that just got started last month, amen, called Matters of the Heart. Singles Ministry and it's geared towards singles. And I'm with myself and Sister Maggie. Amen. Wilson is also joining us. That's everything Friday. So what we do right now, real quick, we'll turn everything over. I had to get up real fast. Turn everything over back to Reverend Elston so you can dismiss us. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, honor you for this time, God. You are awesome, God, and a gracious God. God, I just ask one thing, that you just help us to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers also, Father, that we do exactly what you tell us to do, that we follow the instructions, apply it, use our faith to apply it so we can pray good work in Jesus' name, God. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for your sons and daughters. And I just pray their strength in you, God. Anything that they're dealing with, Father, I pray for deliverance now in Jesus' name. If it's finances, God, I declare prosperity for them. If it's illness, Father, I declare healing now, that with the stripes on Jesus' back, that they are healed now in Jesus' name. And actually, your word says with the stripes we were healed. So I declare that they
that they will walk in the healing that was already provided for them now, not just in their physical body, but in their mind, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God. Then, Father, lastly, I ask, Father, if there's anybody who has not accepted your Son as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they will have the boldness and the enough common sense, Father, to say, I do believe in Jesus Christ, and I want him in my heart. That's all they need to do. I declare that they do that now. I beg that they do that now. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, brother. Thanks a lot for everything, brother. That awesome word, my brother.
Amen.
Thank
you. Thank
you.
Praise God.
All right.
Thank you.
Y'all be
all right.
Blessed.
One more last thing, Ray. Go Washington. All right, bye.
You don't make me cough, okay? What is going?
Hey, Brother Elston, I come in agreement with that.
Amen. That's right. Hey, they say we're 2 or 3, right? We got 2, right?
Yes, sir.
Two of us.
Yes, sir.
2 or 3, so we good.
The question is, where they going? Where they going? Oh, okay.
Huh? where they going?
Hey,
at least they're going. At least they're going.
Don't hate.
You're gonna find out. When you see that scoreboard, you're going to find out where they're going.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
All right,
brother.
God bless you.
All right. God bless.